This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is sponsored by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
And in my opinion, really, you're kind of sold this whole white picket fence mentality, this whole dream, you know?
The American dream, right?
Yeah, and no one tells you that the American dream is kind of a facade, you know, behind that smoky mirror, there's a lot of shit.
Well, there's a lot of things supporting the dream. And if those things collapse beyond your own control, it just, you know, dissipates.
Right.
Like people saw all their values disappear.
Right. And then just one thing has to collapse. Just one thing has to collapse. And then it becomes like a domino effect of stuff happening,
big time.
You know, and no one tells you how to deal with that stuff.
Right.
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Hey everyone, it's Mitch, your host, and welcome to today's show. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit BeinhackerLaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hi, I'm Joyce Rojas. I'm a money mindset mentor. And what I do is I help people with their money relationship and really to find out what's holding them back.
All right, Joyce. So thanks for coming on the podcast and letting me interview you and talk to you about all the stuff you do and help people with money. Before we get started, maybe go back to, you know, kind of where you grew up, what your background is. And I know you have an interesting story and actually a little bit of a motivational story in terms of what you went through and where you got to where you are. So let's go backwards. So where you grew up and
Okay. So I grew up in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Okay.
So born and raised there. I actually went to Rutgers University. So I stayed in Jersey for college.
Okay.
And then got married, moved to California. And So I was living in California for a bit. And that's really where my journey to speaking and to being a transformational speaker and coach came from. So I'll tell you what happened there. That was when?
So you graduated college, you're like 21, 22, right? And then you got married.
Yeah.
So at what age did you move to California?
I moved to California 2000. Let's see. My son was born 2003, probably about 2005-ish is when I moved there.
Oh, so you guys already were married, 2006. Had a child, and then
moved
out there. What brought you out to California?
Yes. So I was married at the time. And so then my husband at that time was opening a branch, so an investment branch.
Got it.
He was with a firm. And so then I moved over with him after a year being here in New York because I wanted to continue my career. And so, yeah, after being a year apart, I moved over to California.
Oh, so you stayed here for a year and then you went to start the office?
Yeah.
And you went and joined them. Okay. All right. Yeah.
I did. Distance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Making it work the distance.
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny because then when we're together, that's when it didn't work.
Yeah, right. Distance, maybe. Maybe that helps.
Distance helped it.
Exactly. All right. So you said that was like 06.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So then I was in California, you know, purchased a property. Obviously, you know what happened come 2008 with the recession.
All over the country, right?
Yeah. So it was a financial crisis. There was, you know, real estate was just crushed.
Right.
And so during that time, I think was the hardest time of my life because I was in the banking industry, so I didn't know whether I was going to have a job or not.
Right.
You know, banks were falling apart.
Yeah.
You know, Washington Mutual, one of the biggest
banks.
That's
who you were with?
No, I actually was with Citi.
Okay.
And so then,
yeah, I remember Washington. Was Citi the one that bought them? Or was it
Chase.
Another bank? Chase, right? I knew it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was Citi, and we were wondering, like, okay, hey, are we going to have a job? So it was a tough time, but on top of what was going on, I mean, my property was slashed in less than half.
Right.
That was so sad to see. But also, I was going through a divorce. And so, and it was a really tough time for me. I had my son as well, and he was probably about, I think, like about seven or something at that point. And so during that time, I felt like my whole life was just kind of falling apart.
Right.
Because there's recession, there's
things
all this
you can't
uncertainty.
Control, right. Yeah.
Right. And then all of a sudden, you know, my marriage has gone, it is going, and this whole picture that you have, right, of how your life should look like is crumbling just fast.
Right.
So during
that
time.
And we kind of grow up thinking like things are just going to stay on the same path, right? You never, and you deal with these things. You know, I think you come out of it on a good side. But
and in my opinion, really, you're kind of sold this whole white picket fence mentality, this whole dream, you know?
The American dream, right?
Yeah. And no one tells you that the American dream is kind of a facade, you know, behind that smoky mirror, there's a lot of shit.
Well, there's a lot of things
on.
Supporting the dream. And if those things collapse beyond your own control, it just, you know, dissipates.
Right.
Like people saw all their values disappear.
Right. And then just one thing has to collapse. Just one thing has to collapse. And then it becomes like a domino effect of stuff happening,
big time.
You know, and no one tells you how to deal with that stuff.
Right.
And so I was going through that and one day I actually go to, I go to work and the electricity goes out. So never has happened before.
This is at a branch?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Right. And so the electricity goes out, never has happened before. And I'm like, all right, I mean, hey, I guess I'll just use my time wisely. I'm going to walk over and get a cup of coffee. So I leave, I'm walking across the street to get a cup of coffee and I get hit by a pickup truck.
Oh my God.
It
you were walking, you weren't in a car.
Walking, I was not in a car, no.
Oh.
And I remember the two just ideas that kept going through my head, the two thoughts that kept going through my head. The number one thought, the first thing that came into my mind was this it? Was that all to my life? Like I felt like there was so much more that I was put here to do and I hadn't done.
You start evaluating. Did you get thrown by
the truck? Actually fell onto it and I held on.
Oh, well, that's probably good, right?
It was really good.
And landed on your head.
Absolutely. Or I could have gotten under the pickup truck, but I actually landed onto it.
Right.
And I held on for dear life. But anyway, that was a whole nother story.
That's a good reflex. I mean, it's just right. It's just a reaction. The reaction could have been to just fall apart and you get run over. Instead, you held on to the truck.
I held on and it was, and I remember thinking that like, oh my God, is this it? Was this it to my life? And I just realized that I hadn't found my purpose. I hadn't even gotten there.
Right.
And then the second thought that went through my head was, and this is after when I'm like there lying on the ground, knowing I'm alive,
now
waiting for
at what
paramedics.
At that point, Joyce?
This was 2008-ish. So what's that been like? 11 years now?
Yeah.
Has it been what? Even more maybe now? Yeah. So that I'm 42 now.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're 30.
I was like 30 something. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I was pretty young. And so I remember the second thought was, what kind of morning did I have with my son that day?
Of course. Now, you woke up in the hospital or you were conscious when this?
No, I was conscious.
Oh, okay.
I was conscious. And so I remember thinking, like wondering what type of morning I had had with my son that day. Because in a single mom household, it's crazy. It's just, and the mornings are the toughest. And I couldn't remember whether I had been so stressed out that I had made him cry that morning because, you know,
you just
got to
rush him
out.
Come on, we got to get
going. Yes. Yeah. Rushing him out and like, okay, let's go, let's go. And then he'd cry. Or if I had had a good morning and I knew that my son hugged me every morning when I dropped him off, but I couldn't remember it.
Right. Of course.
And that really did something to me because it made me realize that I was just going through the motions in life, that I was sleepwalking through life.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And so, I mean, to not remember the hug from the person you love the most in the world really tells you something.
That bothered you, huh?
Yeah, it really did. And so there is where my journey began, where I realized, you know what, I'm here for something more. And I'm just going through the motions in my life. And I'm just going through this script that we're taught by society of what should, you know, what your life should look like, what you should be doing,
Of course. Well, that's
versus
kind of, I know,
really following what I wanted.
Now, what kind of injuries did you have?
So I had, it's so funny because you're a lawyer and it's like, those are the kind of questions.
No, I'm not that kind of a lawyer, but I'm picturing you like laying on the ground or on the hood of this car. You're thinking like, oh my God, is my life over here? Or did I kiss my son? Which is probably exactly what I would think about my children.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking you're seriously injured. So you know,
I'm
what
picking
happened?
On you, Mitch. I'm picking on you.
I mean, you weren't unconscious, so that's good.
Yeah, that is great. So I actually, I fell. So I had some, you know, injury to like my head. I had some, I had broken a wrist, tailbone. I messed up my knee. So it was just stuff
that.
So you
had some injuries, yeah.
Yeah. But it was an interesting journey because it was so much during that time that really made me question a lot, not only in my life, but then I questioned my faith and I questioned everything.
Yeah, you had a whole paradigm shift, right? Was the guy drunk or was it just an accident?
No, he was just an older gentleman. And I swear to you, like I was screaming at the top of my lungs and he's looking around for who's screaming and the person screaming is like on his trunk. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. So yes, he was an older gentleman.
Okay.
Well. Maybe, I don't know what the deal was with him.
Right.
So, so then that was really what got me started on this journey. And then, I started looking for, hey, you know, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing?
Like while you were recovering, you were looking?
No, recovery time was this time
that
where that was, I think I was out for like 3 months. That whole time where I was, you know, figuring stuff out was years. Like it took me years. I mean, my whole life had changed by that point.
So you started really kind of questioning things and re-looking things, re-evaluating things. But it wasn't like 4 months later, you're like, I'm doing it. I'm going to change this. You like thought about this for
this
a long time.
Yes. It took, it was a journey. It was a journey. Yeah. You know, there was a lot to think about. There was the divorce, you know, and
whether that wasn't even over yet, right?
No. That took a while too. And so, and you know, did I want to stay in California? Did I want to leave?
Right.
I ended up leaving. So there was a lot going on
in my
life.
Right,
because
we're talking on Zoom, but you're in New Jersey again, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in New Jersey. So it was an interesting journey. And then from there, you know, how I started kind of just getting into, because I'm a money mindset mentor, right? And so how I got into this money thing is obviously I've been in the industry for almost 20 years, but I think the biggest thing that helped me was seeing the many clients that I've been able to help by shifting their mindset. And what helped me do that is that during that time that I was just redesigning my life, I left California. I actually sold my house at a loss.
Right, because the market was in the toilet.
Exactly.
Right.
Sold my house at a loss and sold everything in it in a garage sale for like pennies on the dollar.
Right.
And all I had was a car, my kid in the backseat, and a cooler. And that's it.
That was it. You had some clothes.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yep. And I drove to New Jersey.
You drove cross country at that point?
Yep. Drove cross country with my son. And I came to New Jersey, and the only, like, the fastest thing I could find and what I could afford at that point was this little studio the size of a dorm room. You know, so imagine, you know, how I felt. I felt like a loser.
Yeah.
Because I had gone from being married, beautiful house in California, to back to Jersey City in this tiny little apartment with a kid. And I felt like, what the hell has my life come to?
But you're jumping ahead. This didn't happen in weeks after the accident.
No.
So what happened? So take me through, you know, you told me, okay, now that day you started thinking about things. So take me through the process of what happened in terms of, you know, how you came to those conclusions. What, you know, because you're talking years. It took you a couple of years to get to the point where you literally walked away.
Yeah.
Came back here, and now it's 20 years later. But I wanted to know what kind of happened during that period of time in terms of your thinking, if you can remember it all.
So I remember being upset with God during that time.
Yeah.
You know, and then just kind of saying,
why did this happen to me, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, I mean,
like, what do you deserve to do?
You know, WTF, wrong, you know,
yeah,
like, what
exactly. The
F, you know, here, and why did I deserve this? I'm in the middle of the divorce, you know, I've been a good person, you know, why is this happening to me?
But doesn't life do that to you? Like, there's no fairness in life. Like, things happen randomly. Somebody beats you over the head with a 2x4, and
yeah,
it's not like you're like, well, I've been a good person, I've done all good
things. Yes,
it doesn't work that way, you know,
right. Right.
And it's difficult to come to that.
It is very hard to accept that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, and this whole belief, like, God, you know, I believe in you and I'm doing the right thing. And I remember, you know, one of the biggest things with this, and it's funny because I'm talking to a lawyer here, but like one of the biggest issues with this case was that there was someone that had told the cops that I wasn't in the crosswalk. I was in the crosswalk.
Right.
And the person that was in the crosswalk with me left the scene.
So they weren't
so
there.
So they did. Yeah. So they did not get any statement from her.
And once he hit you, so, you were no longer in the crosswalk.
Exactly.
Right?
Because I had been on the car, but then it's like, oh, that's hard to believe.
Look like you weren't in there. Right.
Right. Yeah. So then looking for a lawyer that would take the case when everything on the police report was looking like it was against me.
Right.
Was tough.
Yeah, and these guys do it for money. They want to
absolutely,
they can win. Yeah,
absolutely. And right. So you know that, and then I lost the case.
I got
barely anything from that case.
Really?
I mean, yes, I didn't get enough to even pay for the expenses that I had incurred during that time. And so that's why I was angry. I was like, "What the hell, man? I was doing the right thing, and then everything
minding your own business,
right? Wow. Everything's going against me, and you're supposed to be on my side, God, and you're not on my side." And I had people that said, "Hey, you know, you want me to say you were in the crosswalk and I was in a car, and yeah, I will do that for you. I will lie." And I had to say, "No,
right,
I don't want that type of you know." Way for me to do this. I really believe that God's going to come through, or the universe is going to come through, or whatever. And when I didn't see that kind of panning out, I'm like, what the hell, man? Like, why is this happening to me? And so I went through this whole belief system, this whole, you know, reflection of like, all right, you know, what is this about? What are you trying to teach me? What am I learning from this? And so I just started kind of seeing things in a completely different way. It was maybe, I don't know if it was a month or maybe a couple of weeks or something after that had happened to me, someone else also got hit on the same avenue and died.
Different guy.
Different person. Yes. And I remember thinking that could have been me.
Of course. That's why I asked you about your injuries. Yeah, I would think you'd be seriously injured.
Right. And it's like, okay, so that was a sign. Then I went to therapy one time and I saw this, you know, girl there, and she was in a
psychological therapy or physical therapy?
No, physical therapy.
PT. Okay.
And I saw this, I was waiting in the waiting room, and this girl was there, and she, you know, seemed like she had been healthy at some point, but now is in a wheelchair, could barely speak. And I saw her family saying, hey, you know, grandpa's going to come visit. Do you remember when you guys used to, you know, talk?
And she was in bad shape.
Yeah, she was in really bad shape.
Yeah.
And so it made me just, you know, start reflecting and say, Joyce,
maybe you're lucky.
This was,
right?
Yes, like this was a blessing.
Right.
And
maybe he did protect you.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And the whole mindset shift began.
It's all about mindset.
So, it is all about mindset. And so that's where I just started seeing things in a different route, right? And then looking at my relationship and realizing, yeah, you know, am I staying in a relationship because I'm supposed to stay in a relationship, because I'm supposed to do this as a mother, because I'm supposed to not get divorced, or am I staying in this relationship, you know, do I want to stay in this relationship because I love the person and because he loves me? And that became very clear that I was staying in it and he was staying in it because
the wrong reasons.
The wrong reasons. And so that started kind of like saying, you know what, I need to go forward with this, and I need to move on this. And so that
whole
time.
Did you quit your job too? Or did you?
I had to leave that location. And what I did is I talked to my superiors, which they were not supposed to do this for me, but they did. I talked to them to transfer me to a location.
So
then I had
to
come to New Jersey. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yes. Or at least with the possibility of one, because I had to come here and I had to interview again.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah.
But you had your foot in the door because.
Exactly. Exactly.
That limits your risk. It doesn't eliminate it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely limited it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all of that time was just this whole figuring things out and seeing what it is that I needed to change in my life.
So you said that was like 08 where the accident happened. So this is like 2012 that you come back here, roughly?
No, 12, it was actually probably maybe 2010, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah. So it wasn't that, no. I made some decisions were pretty fast.
Okay.
And so, yeah, things started to get really, I'm going to call it interesting during the divorce proceedings. And so it just became a time where I couldn't stay there because it was way too toxic for myself and my son.
But and now so, your ex-husband, he was willing to let you go with your son back to Jersey.
Oh, no. Things don't happen. Yeah,
right.
Things don't happen that easily when you're in the middle of a divorce. But I figured out a way. Like everything just aligned.
Just fell into place, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Everything just fell into place. And so that's where, you know, I came back, and then I barely, like, look, I'm living in this tiny little apartment, like size of a dorm room, barely, I didn't have really anything to my name, because I had lost my house. I had, you know, used up my savings. It was hard enough trying to pay daycare bills by myself. You know, my ex at that time, you know, during the divorce, he was like, okay, you know what, if I'm out, I'm completely out. There's no financial help. And so I was really doing everything on my own. And so in the matter of maybe 5 years, I'm going to say 4 to 5 years, I quadrupled my income. I, you know, increased my assets, like went from nothing to having an investment property to, you know, having a very good amount in savings, paying any debt off. Everything changed for me. I got my master's in business administration as a single mom. I had a great relationship with my son, and I was happier, and I had figured out my purpose. Right. And so
changed for you? Like what?
Mindset.
It was, do you think it was the way you looked at
things? That was
it. Now you were at the bank this whole time or no?
Yeah. So I had come over here, interviewed, chosen a spot, and I had gotten a couple of offers, chosen a spot, and then, you know, started working there and had to really rebuild everything.
Okay. Well, good for you. Okay.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, for me, it was such a game changer. And that's when I realized how much your perspective on things and how much, you know, mindset really can change your life, because that was the only thing, you know, everything that I was going through and my just circumstances were shitty. They were really shitty.
Right. Very much so.
Right. Yeah. But how do you get through that? And it's really how you see things and the things you do, the habits, the processes you put into place.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they weren't as shitty as the next person that got hit in the crosswalk and died.
My God, no.
Everything's relative. Okay. So, exactly. All right. So take me through the journey then. You're in the banking business. You know, you're working in a branch or whatever. How did you start discovering what you do now?
Because I was helping clients. So I became a financial advisor.
With the bank.
And so, yep.
Okay.
Yep. And so I began seeing just how people deal with money from a different perspective. So I was in leadership before. And so I knew how to figure out people from the sales perspective, right?
That you were managing them.
Right. I was managing sales teams.
Okay.
And so I knew about that part of it, but I hadn't really spent time with people on looking at exactly their finances to a deeper level and understanding how they're positioning their money, understanding why they're positioning it that way. And I began seeing this trend of people and how they reacted to money based on their belief systems versus based on what you tell them to do.
Right. Like, so it doesn't follow logic.
Doesn't, you right. know, when you, if you really think about it, everything you need to know about money is on Google. You can Google that shit, but
it's true though.
People still don't figure it out.
Right. Because it's a very emotional topic. People make emotional decisions and generally they're bad. That's why we make bad marital decisions. That's why we make all kinds of bad emotional decisions.
Yes, yes. Money's a very emotional thing. And then we forget that there's a script that is playing out in our mind with everything in life.
Right.
With relationships, there's a script. There's a script that you saw when you were a kid that told you what to expect about relationships.
Right. The problem with that is someone else wrote that script, right?
Exactly.
Right.
And the same exact thing is with money. And this is what I realized. Is that there is a script that's been taught to you from your parents, from your experiences, from society that relate to money. And you are living out that script and you don't even know you're living that script out because it's a subconscious
thing. It's true. If you generally have trouble with money or you associate bad things with money, it's because of the things you were taught by your parents, your grandparents, or
absolutely.
Whatever, right?
Religion is another thing, yeah.
Right, sure, right, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we just kind of sit in the car, we're a passenger in life sometimes.
Right. Yes. But you don't have to be, right? You can take the driver's.
No, it's a conscious decision, right?
Yes.
If you become conscious of it, and that's what you're doing.
There you go.
Okay.
And I'm helping people do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And definitely self-awareness and consciousness is like the thread in life. Like anything that, and anybody I've interviewed or anything that I've dealt with, whether it's coaching or business, whatever, it's always being self-aware. Even if you're in management, right? Being self-aware of how you're treating people or, you know, how they're reacting to you or how you're saying things, you don't hear it. All that, it's all self-awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely is. And that's step number one. It's going to be self-awareness. And then step number two is going to be, what am I going to do about it? What can I do?
Right. You know? You're willing to. So you kind of started realizing this when you switched over to the financial advisory side, which is really sales, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And completely then sales.
From working with people, you started realizing this?
Yes. Working with people, seeing people bring me, you know, $3 million in inheritance and then all of a sudden, you know, have almost nothing in 3 years, regardless of me saying, hey, don't do this. Hey, position it this way. Doesn't matter. They have a certain financial thermostat. It is set at that temperature.
That's a good
And you
term.
Are going to continue to go back to that temperature.
That's a joycism. Yeah. It's like weight, right? You have like a metabolic, you have a weight, you're like set, your metabolism's at a set point. And if you don't move that set point, you're always going to end up back there, you know?
Exactly. And you got to move it.
High. Yeah, exactly.
Right. But to move it, you're going to have to do something seriously different.
Right.
You can't do the same stuff that you've been doing for years. And that's exactly what it is with money. I like that, actually. That's pretty good, Mitch.
What, the analogy?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. And let me tell you something. I deal with a lot of financial advisors. I mean, across the board, insurance companies, wirehouses, all over. And, you know, nobody really, I mean, maybe they say this to their clients, but I don't think so. You know,
yeah, no.
About, like, okay, you have to think about money differently if you want this to work, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing. When I started noticing with financial advisors, obviously, because I'm one, right? So I started noticing we don't take this information and help our clients this way. You know, we try to help clients, and financial advisors try to help clients to say, hey, you know what, based on, you know, what you want, your goals, blah, 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 this is what it would be the best portfolio for you. And then if you're going to be selling, I'm going to talk you off, you know, the ledge. That is all great stuff. But looking at it in a deeper level where you start noticing, wait a minute, this is the pattern. This is their money personality. This right. is what I need to figure out and gear them, you know, this direction, because that's what their money personality and their subconscious belief system is beginning to tell them to do. So switching that for them is a totally different
Because they're
going
to sabotage themselves.
Yes. That's exactly what people do.
Yeah, they do that. Yep. And you had come... But well, basically you had, and then you had nothing, and then you came back and you built it up. So you realized that you changed your mindset about money and how you look.
Absolutely.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSight Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSight. You do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSight and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21,000. That's LAW to 21,000, or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
Yeah, you know, I can't remember for the life of me, but there's a book I read years ago, and it was all about that, about how you feel about money and how you, I got to figure it out now that you and I are talking, but how you feel about money and the baggage that you get from your life experiences with relatives or family or parents or whatever about money affects how successful you can be. You said, there's a temperature you're at, that your temperature was set X, and you're never going to get over that until you recognize that this is someone else's, you know, baggage. This is someone else's script, not yours. It doesn't have to be yours.
Right. Yeah. Yep. It's exactly it. And then as soon as you find what book it is, you got to let me know. So then that way I can.
We'll have to figure that out. I'm going to have to figure that. That was a long time ago. I might have been 20, 25 years ago. But okay. So, but it's interesting because you're in an environment, not just at a bank, but in an industry that drives their salespeople to basically sell products, right? I mean, there are some financial planning fees or whatever, but.
Yeah.
You know, very few of them are coaching people. I mean, you know, you're in a regulated environment with a license and things like that. So how did you kind of pivot? Because do you do more like coaching and mentoring than you do?
Yes.
Financial products?
Financial absolutely. Now I do. So my business, I'm an entrepreneur. So my business now is money mentoring and mindset mentoring. Really, that's the big thing. It's so I've helped people.
You're on
with
your own. You're not with the bank anymore, right?
Yeah, I'm actually full time still. and a part-time entrepreneur. Yep.
Okay. But so the but the mindful coaching money thing, I forget.
Completely separate.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And you just disclose that, the bank knows, and you're fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah. So on my business side, that's what I do. I go hone in on that. I help people with the coaching piece where it's, okay, you know, for example, I've had people come to me and say, for some reason, you know, my sales just can't go past this, you know? And so there's a mindset shift you're needing there. There's a perspective shift and there's a process shift, right? So I look at, okay, hey, let's look at the process. Let's look to see what you're saying. Let's look at what perspective you're seeing this in. And so that's something that I help with. The other piece is like people that have money blocks, or like, let's say women, it's a big thing with women.
Okay.
They'll say, you know what? I'm divorced now. You know, he used to be the one doing all of the finances, and I have no idea what I'm doing. Or, you know, hey, everything that just life handed me right now has just killed my confidence. I really don't have much confidence with this, with money.
Right.
I have other, you know, another example is, you know, women that are, they're making money, but for some reason they're not saving much and they're not, they can't figure out, okay, what the heck am I doing? And how do I handle, how do I handle this better? Yeah. How do I position myself better? And so that's something else I do. So I not only look at, okay, let's look at your belief systems, but let's look at the process that you're practicing right now and what we need to change.
Does that involve budgeting and things like that? I mean, you get that involved?
Yeah, I get involved. And I don't like to call it budgeting because no one likes to budget.
Yeah, budgets are really... It is. It's a depressing, uncomfortable process where you basically reveal something you already know, right? You already know you're misspending your money, you're overspending your money, you're buying too many coffees a week. You don't want to lay it out on a spreadsheet and go.
Exactly. Yeah. We got to cut this, you know? It's like budgeting. Right. No one wants to budget. But if I sit with you and I look at what you're spending on and I see a pattern, and I see, oh, okay, there's an emotion behind your spending. And typically that's what we do.
Right.
We're spending for emotion.
It makes us feel good, right?
Exactly. And so what's the emotion that you're trying to elicit from
this
spending?
Struggling to get a bonus. You go out and you spend all the money because you've been struggling for so long that you're like, I'm buying a new car or whatever it is. You know, how big your bonus
right.
is, right?
Right. Yeah. So there's a concept behind that. There's this belief system behind that. There's something, there's an emotion that you're trying to create. And so perfect example, you see people, you know, driving Maseratis and driving, you know, Mercedes Benz. And then I look at their numbers and I'm like, what the F are you doing?
They
driving that type. You should not be having
a lot of
this.
People do that, right?
Right. But what's behind that? What's behind that is this emotion of feeling important.
Right.
This emotion of feeling like, you know what, I want to fit in. I want to be special. I want to be, you know, this, put this facade out there because that is what I've been taught.
Right.
I need to do to be loved, you know? So
yeah.
There's this.
My friends in California tell me that that's very common out there. People have a little house and a Porsche 911 Target top so they can drive down the beach and feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
But your mortgage car payment's bigger than your mortgage. You know, that's what
right. Yeah. So it's like silliness like that, but there's emotion behind that you're trying to elicit. And that is where I'm looking at, okay, if you're spending, then what is this emotion? How can we create this in a different way?
Right.
And that's what I help people with.
So are you dealing with individuals and you're dealing with business owners, like entrepreneurs and people like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And are you, they're not always your financial clients?
No, I keep it completely. Church and state is separate. I do not, to be quite honest with you, I do not want to invest your money. I want to actually help you with the coaching piece of it. I can look at your numbers. I can say, hey, you know what? This is what I would be doing. And you should shift it around like this. But when they say, hey, Joyce, can you invest for me? I probably will say no. I can guide you to someone else, but I don't, you know, I actually am really enjoying what I'm doing and I
you're
don't
doing
foresee
more and more
myself.
Of that than you're doing.
Yeah.
You want to do this 100%.
Yeah. I want to do this more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So, and you said more of your clients are women than men now?
Yeah.
Just because
I
that's
do have
the niche
men
or you
clients.
Think, yeah. Well,
I do have men clients, but I don't know. I think maybe it's, I don't know. I'm under the impression that it's women, they get to the point where they realize and they admit that they need help. Men are a little bit more like, yeah, no, I could do this myself.
We're tough
Let me just
guys.
Read this
we don't
book.
Want to say anything, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Let me read
I
this
I think also
book.
Women
Let
like to work
friends.
In general with other women a lot of times.
True, but you'd actually be very surprised. When as a financial advisor, one of the things that I actually see is I see women, they would, let's say they get divorced, right? And they're so accustomed to dealing with who handling their finances, their husband, right?
Right, a man.
Who do you think, yep, who do you think they're going to trust more subconsciously?
A male, a male. Financial advisor.
Yep.
Interesting.
So typically I see women gravitate towards men because they feel safer that way. Because
yeah.
that is what they've been taught, that, you know, that is the person that can handle money, not women.
We
it's very interesting.
That, right?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
There's a lot of psychology behind
There's
the
a lot of psychology.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. So do you do a lot of public speaking?
Yes, I do.
You do? So what kind of groups yeah. are you speaking to these days?
So recently I've been doing virtual
right,
conferences
obviously.
And yeah. obviously a lot of it is women's conferences.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of, did we meet at like the Jabo or something?
No, we met with networking with Sid.
Oh, through Sid's event. Yeah. Before mm-hmm. this, I was at his Switch event he had before this.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I couldn't
Sid's
make it
doing
today.
Stuff. But I've spoken, I can't keep track of anything anymore. Because I've spoken at a Jabo. I did something for the professional organizers, which were mostly uh-huh. women, not all, but mostly women. I'm doing a seminar for SCORE on podcasting. Like
oh,
did,
that's
I
so
did the
cool.
podcast one for SCORE, and then I'm doing a business one for them too. Yeah.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah, I've been speaking a lot of that kind of stuff because people want to learn how to like market and do other content driven things for their business. So
absolutely. And podcasting is a wonderful one.
Yeah. If you like to talk. I mean, if you,
yeah.
don't, you know, if you don't like to be on video, don't be on video, but it really depends on what they want to do. So tell me about the things that you see, like the patterns that you see in terms of the bad decisions that people tend to, we won't say make, we'll say gravitate to, right? With
when it comes
money.
To money.
Yeah.
So bad decisions.
I mean, first on the, you know, on the personal side, and then also on the business side, like business, bad business decisions. There's got to be
okay.
a separation too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So on the personal side, I think that actually this is both personal and business.
Okay.
One of the things that I'm seeing that is just driving me freaking crazy is the ostrich syndrome. That's what I call it.
Okay.
I coined it the ostrich
yeah.
syndrome.
Sticking your right. head in the sand.
Sticking your head in the sand,
right.
acting like nothing's happening, acting like, oh yeah, everything will work out. It is so funny how we are so damn optimistic when it comes to when we have to make a change, we're so optimistic of how things are going to work.
Right.
But when, you know, it comes to something different, let's say trusting someone to help you, then we're pessimistic, right?
Right, right.
And so that to me is just, that I think is a big issue when people don't just say, okay, enough of this bullshit.
This is not
I'm
working,
gonna,
right?
Yeah, I'm going to stop ignoring the situation and begin doing something about it. Because no matter what, if you are going to ignore the situation, you're going to have to deal with it at some point. It's
right.
just going to get hairier and nastier later on
right.
when you have to deal with it a year from now or whatever.
So I think we become so attached to what we thought was the best decision to make that it's difficult for us to say, this is the wrong decision. And then what we'll do is saying, well, if I hold on longer, this will come back. We'll fix this. I'll break even. Then I can sell the company. I can move on, or, you know, like my investments will come back, and it's lost time. It's not going to come back. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a bad
right.
decision now, it will be a bad decision then. You just got to
yeah.
lick your wounds and move forward.
Yeah. And I think that that's what people don't realize. They don't think like, okay, you know what? I've tried this for X amount of time. It's not working. We got to shift now.
Right.
And I think that that's one of the things for entrepreneurs, right?
Yeah.
And for entrepreneurs, it's one of the things that really this coronavirus made you realize. It made you realize like, oh crap, I need to relook. Yeah. I need to relook at my business. I need to look at my business in a completely different light, because now business is being done completely differently. And it's forcing you to see what's working and what's not working. And it's forcing you to change the way that you've been doing business, because we get into a comfort zone and we don't like to get out of it.
Right. And I think that that's one of the good, like, if there could be silver linings from the whole coronavirus thing, one is that we've all met each other and you meet people you've never met before. And the other part is it's made people evaluate things, and I think made them, well, some people are going to go out of business, but some of the ones that didn't and pivot, they're a little bit more resilient for, you know, the next time around.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. And money, like you said, like, you can make bad decisions around money, but if you have cash flow, it hides a lot of things. Like, it allows you to continue to make those bad decisions and say, oh, it's not so bad. We got through today. We can get through tomorrow. It'll change in 2 weeks. But if it's dead, I mean, if it's just not happening, then you're forced to make decisions, and you don't feel so bad about it. I think in this situation, like, everybody was in it together. So if you're like shutting down and you're going this and you're helping people there and you're borrowing money and everyone's doing it, so you didn't feel like, I hate to use the word, but you didn't feel like you were a loser or you were failing.
Yeah.
You were able to blame someone else. So I think, ironically, it helps people, it forced people to make those decisions and say, well, this isn't my fault, so I could change because I have to change.
Right.
Almost gave them permission to do this, you know?
Yeah, true. Yeah. So it kind of just says, all right, you know what? Everyone's going through it. What are you going to do that's going to actually help you through this crisis, right? And so, do you want to be the person, and this is for both entrepreneurs and regular people too, right? That are not, that don't have their own business. Right. Yeah. Do you want to be the person that sits there and bitches about it?
Right.
Or do you want to be the person that takes this moment, seizes the moment, and says, I will do something different for my business. I will do something different for my life. Sure. I will not be this victim and allowing the world to do shit to me versus me saying, I will make this time the best
time. Being active versus passive. And the people that you see that are successful and pivoted that don't need my advice and don't need your coaching, you know, they immediately pivoted their businesses. They, you know, they changed what they were doing, whether it's providing PPE or adjusting their employees or, you know, whatever it was, because that's their mindset. They weren't like, well, how am I going to get through? You know, am I going to get through this? They were just like, how are we going to get through this? It's just a how, not an if.
Yeah.
Those kind of people. And I guess you're trying to help people get there in their mind to be that, recognize that it's a how, not an if.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So how many people are you working with now? I mean, you don't work with them forever, hopefully, right? So
no, that's not therapy.
Coach them out of, exactly. Well, therapy's not supposed to be forever either.
It's not supposed to be forever, but for some reason, it ends up being forever. Right. If you have a bad therapist, I think it ends up being forever.
Right, that's the job, right? To to ruin, end their relationship with you. But so how long does people in general normally work with you?
I like to at least do eight weeks. So two months worth of coaching. You need pretty much 8 weeks to really be able to make any type of shift.
Right. In terms of a habit change.
Yeah.
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 And probably sometimes it's longer than that.
Yeah. Sometimes it's longer, but typically it's maybe 3 months max.
And do people check back in with you? Do you have group sessions? Do you, whatever it is?
Yeah. So I have individual sessions and I have group ones. So there's one group one that I have that's going on right now, actually. It's called Bankroll Bootcamp.
Okay.
And so really that's 3 months of coaching and just taking you through this journey with your relationship with money. So it's looking at, you know, the knowledge piece of it, what are the most important numbers, really giving you control over your financial life. And then we move on to the subconscious belief systems. We try to find those and see what's working for you, what's not working for you, and shifting that right there so that doesn't hold you back anymore.
Okay.
Then we move on to the energy of money, because I do believe that there's energy around money, and the actions. Okay. The actions you got to take, because I'm not going to be in your life forever.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You want to teach people how to catch their own fish eventually.
Handle their own. Absolutely.
Exactly. It would be dependent on you forever.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's one of the things that I have going on at group, in a group program right now. And then I have the individual sessions. Sometimes people say, hey, you know what, Joyce, can I just have like a consultation with you and you just kind of deep dive into my numbers and let me know what the heck is going on and anything I could shift. And right. I'll do that too.
Yeah. And you've been doing mm-hmm. this so long, you've gotten very good at
I'm really good at really quickly
stuff. And yeah, because you see the same Quick. Patterns all the time.
Yep.
All right. Well, this, you know, this will be coming out in the fall. So we'll be sure to put in the show notes links to your website so they can see what other programs are going on then. And that, you know, in terms of how to connect with you and sign up and get on your mailing list. I assume you're on all the social media platforms, right?
I am. If you look up The Joyce Rojas.
Okay. Because you are the Joyce Rojas.
I am the Joyce Rojas.
Any of the other
There's
ones
other Joyce Rojases, but, yeah, but I'm the Joyce Rojas.
Nice. I guess I'm the Mitch Beinhacker. I'm sure there is no other.
So. I don't know if there's any other Mitch Beinhacker.
There's other Beinhackers, but I haven't met any named Mitchell. So I don't think in my family tree that there's another Mitchell. But who knows? Maybe there is. So yeah. Joyce, I appreciate coming on. I appreciate sharing your story.
I think that's
helpful to people and, you know, to understand where you came from, what you went through. And I'm sure there's other people out there that are maybe going through similar things right now and trying to figure out and questioning, you know, everything. I mean, it really,
everything. Right?
Those kind of experiences, life-threatening experiences makes you question everything. I'm sure it's what creates a lot of agnostics where they're, you know, like culturally, the religion's part of their life, but they don't believe in, you know, God and all the things of faith and, you know.
But, yeah. I think it makes it a little tougher, but you know, hey, you know, if that's something, and if anybody listening to this, that's something that you're going through, please reach out to me because that's what we're here for. You know, we're really here to help each other out and we see each other as this like separate source or separate being. We're not separate beings.
No.
You know, we're really here for each other. And so if you're going through something like that, reach out to me and then I'll see how, you know, I can help or, you know, even if I can inspire you in some way, then we could talk for 20 minutes or something. It's fine.
Good. Okay, good. Well, I think that, you know, it's ironic because we do need contact and connection and meet people and have friends and things like that. And that's what's hard about the whole coronavirus thing. But because of the time we live in and the technology, we're at least able to connect. Even though we're not able to touch each other, we're able to connect and meet and share ideas. And, you know, someday we'll come out of quarantine and lockdown, I guess, hopefully. It's going to be a rough year.
Exactly. I think it will be. But it's a perfect time. I mean, for all your entrepreneurs listening to me right now, it is a perfect time to redesign your,
evaluate your business. Things.
And reevaluate, redesign, and really sit down with yourself and say, what the hell do I want from life?
Right. Like it's okay to change what you're doing.
Yeah,
right?
It's okay. So that we talk about this pivoting thing, you know, and it's like, all right, let's stop talk about pivoting and let's talk about like, let's look at our life. Let's look at what, not only what we've done with our business, but what do we want in the next 5 years, three to 5 years? Because, you know, obviously this taught us something, right? We can go, our wealth can go like that. Our health can go like that.
Like
so
that.
What do you want? What do you truly want out of life? Or are you living someone else's script?
Right.
Or an old script that you thought you wanted and now it's time for a different stage in your life.
Well, words of wisdom and words to live by. And I appreciate it very much. And I thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, Joyce.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.